Welcome to episode 277 of Sports Geek. On this week's CEO series episode, I chat with Netball New Zealand's CEO, Jenny Wiley.
Welcome to Sports Geek, the podcast built for sports digital and sports business professionals. And now, here's your host, who is back riding a bike for the first time in 25 years, Sean Callanan.
Thanks, DJ Joel. Yes, my name is Sean Callanan, and I am back on the bike, probably for this, for the first time in 25 years. It's been sitting there for a while with the promise of doing it, but the little excursions to get a bit of exercise, I have been trying to get on the bike. My name is Sean Callanan. You can find me on all places social at Sean Callanan, SeanCallanan, or Sports Geek, or you can contact me the old-fashioned way, Sean at SportsGeekHQ.com. You can find this podcast on all good podcasting platforms. I'd really interested to know where you are listening. You might be doing so on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or my favorite podcast platform. I haven't done it for a while. Shout out to Pocket Casts. For those of you who know who I have an affinity to Pocket Casts, welcome back. Don't forget, you can also join us on our Sports Biz Zoom calls that I'm hosting twice weekly, covering different topics that we're all facing right now. You can register by going to sportsgeekhq.com/Zoom calls to register your details. You can also go to the website. You should find the links. If you can't find the links, I'm not doing my job right. Last week, or this week as I'm recording it, last week we spoke about sponsorship and a really good discussion about how it's going to change the conversations people are having with their partners, how the sponsorship product will change, how we're going to cater for things like hospitality in a social distance world. So really good discussion this week coming up as of recording will be about stadiums and venues. So you can either tune in on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. or Wednesdays at 10 a.m. That's Australian Eastern Standard Time. But the idea is there is a time there for people in Europe and South Africa and the like. And there is a time for people in Australia during their business hours and also some of my friends in the US. So please join us. Hopefully it's worthwhile for your evening. This week it's stadiums and venues is going to be the conversation. Next week, we're going to be talking about mobile. How will the mobile experience and the way we do apps and how we engage with fans on mobile, how's that going to change? How it's going to change during COVID and post? And then because there has been a bit of a recurring theme, May 26, 27, we're going to look at grassroots and participation and what's going to be needed to be done in that space. Thank you very much to everyone who's attended. Shout out especially to podcast guests that are turning up on the call. Really appreciate it. Todd Kaflish, Cash Helbron, Pete Minio, Daniel Brzezinski. Sorry, Brew, I try my best to do your name correctly and I mangle names all the time. Pete Holterman, Jess Ivers, Steve Pastorino, Lenny Go, Pete Locke. They're some of the podcast guests that have come on, and you know, really do appreciate them joining in the conversation. And what I also do appreciate is the people who are supporting the Patreon campaign for all the content that we're putting up around the sports business space, both the podcasts, the newsletters, and now the Zoom calls. So thank you very much, Cass, for becoming a patron. Really do appreciate it. It does help pay for the costs of the podcast and the hosting and everything that's required to keep this content machine moving on. And it does help at this time when the work is a little bit less than it has been in the past. So if you want to be a patron of Sports Geek, you can do so by going to sportsgeekhq.com/Patreon. You can do so for as little as $4 a month. And if you are a business, whether you are a startup in the space of sports or you're a sports technology firm, you can support in that way and reach the audience and have your logo and links in every single show notes. Please check them out and find out what they're doing because they are supporting what I'm doing here. Today's guest is Jenny Wiley. She is the CEO of Netball New Zealand. Netball is an amazing sport. And it's a sport probably needs some explanation for some of my US friends and some of the friends in Europe. It is a sport that's largely a female participation sport, and one of the biggest female participation sport here in Australia and in New Zealand. Seven-a-side, fast game. I've actually played it before in a mixed form. A lot of fun to play, really quick moving. So I talked to Jenny, and thank you very much to Shane Harmon for connecting us and showing and talking so highly of Jenny. So I caught up with Jenny to talk about what netball has done, how they've rebuilt netball in coming out of and setting their strategy out of some disappointing results at the top level, and also how it sort of steeled them for what they need to do coming out of this crisis. So this is my chat with Jenny Wiley, the CEO of Netball New Zealand. Very happy to be joined by Jenny Wiley, the CEO of Netball New Zealand. Welcome to the podcast, Jenny.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you.
Well, it's good to catch up. We are all in lockdown at the minute, but I wanted to dive in on the CEO series that we've been doing and sort of find out how you found your way into the world of sport. How did you find your way into the world of sport?
Well, I think growing up as a kid in New Zealand, sport was massive for me. I couldn't wait to get out there on the netball court. That was my thing. And really lucky to have Mum as a coach back a long time ago now. And for me, it was just everything I wanted to do. I couldn't sleep on a Friday night because I actually just couldn't wait for netball to be on the next morning. So, massively fanatical about it. Mum played tennis for New Zealand, but I could never take up a sport that didn't involve other people. It was always going to have others around me. Netball was my thing from an early age.
And so from a career point of view, you came at it from a finance background. Is that how your initial training was and your initial jobs in the finance and accounting sort of sector?
Yeah, well, when I worked out, I was never going to play for New Zealand because I didn't have the skills or the talent. And I kind of worked out I was quite good with the numbers. So what I actually did is went and travelled like most Kiwis and Aussies, did my OE, but I got my professional qualifications before I left. And so I had the opportunity to see the world, bounce around a few different organisations, and came home and really wanted to be involved in sport, but there were fewer opportunities out there. But what I did do is I tapped on the door of Netball New Zealand several times and said, when you're ready for me, let me know. And about 10 years ago, someone opened the door and I ran through it. So, I've been there ever since. Started in finance because that is my background. But I think with any sport, you've got to be multifaceted. You get involved in everything and anything. And that was a really good grounding for me starting out in that space.
I mean, sport remains a really hard nut to crack to get in. So getting that breadth of skills across different consulting firms, but then also in the telco space and some of your work, but then diving in on the finance strategy piece, what did Netball New Zealand look like when you first came in 2009 and you're the accountant and you're looking at the numbers? What did it look like then?
Well, I think coming into sport, it was a massive eye-opener for me. It was a good reset opportunity to learn and be involved in something I was passionate about. But at the time, we were less than a $10 million business. We had, I think, 12 regions, 5 franchise teams. There was lots of governance going on. There was a reliance on gaming funding, which is a quirk of the New Zealand system. And a massively strong volunteer base, and that hasn't changed. But the landscape was quite different. Things were, the Silver Ferns were on TV. There was the new Trans-Tasman Championship just sort of standing up. So if we reflect on those times, there was some growth in that women's sport and getting on broadcast and what have you. And the Aussie teams were also starting to see that start to happen. But we were still in our infancy around really looking at that future planning around how we're going to remain sustainable in the future and that evolving landscape of sport. So, it was quite a different period of time for us.
And so you've been in the CEO role. You're coming up in 4 years in July. Yeah. What has been some of the, I guess, the pillars and the things you've been trying to drive at Netbuild New Zealand to sort of take it from that early those early days of the fragmentation and the strong volunteer base, the strong passion at the really grassroots and, you know, because that's one of the challenges of a lot of sports is harnessing that big volunteer and participation base up to the very top.
Yeah, well, I think that's still there, but yep. I think the landscape's changing. So parents are now having to be at work. So the volunteering mindset, whilst it's still there, it becomes incredibly, you know, needing to be balanced with every other requirement on people's time. But we have more than doubled our revenue in that 10 years that I've been here. We've gone through a massive restructure. We went from those 17 different entities to 5.
Yep.
And really tried to hone out in on what was important to us and what is our point of difference in terms of the sporting landscape in New Zealand. In the 4 years that I've been in this role, I guess my first year was very much, you know, the Silver Ferns were performing as we'd expect. Yep. And then they had the worst Commonwealth Games campaign known in the history of netball. We lost to Malawi, which was an incredible shock. And from there, that was my first moment of being able to actually start to stamp my brand on the leadership of this organisation, because rather than having a plan that was formed under a different leadership group and a coach employed under a different leadership group, this became my opportunity to start reshaping. And you never want to waste a good crisis. So I guess, yep. you know, we got quite battle hardened because we had to change, we had to move. We had to try some stuff that hadn't been done in the world of netball before, and we had to be brave enough to do it in a public forum where we were owning our mistakes.
Yeah.
And we lived all this out in the public eye, and the media scrutiny on us was quite intense, and particularly on the decision-making that I was going to implement as a result of it. So we went to a really low place, but I think from my mind, what that demonstrated to me is the power of what netball is in this country here in New Zealand. It was like a group of women wrapped their arms around the sport and said, this is not going to be our new normal.
Yep.
We will fix this. And that's exactly what happened. So we could leave our differences aside, and we determined that the way forward was going to be different and bad things weren't going to happen.
Yep.
And that was quite a defining moment for me. And it kind of sets us up for where we are now, because we made change. We put in a new coach who was also coaching in Australia at the time. And some of my closest friends said to me, you are insane, Jenny. You can't yep. do that. You know, how are you going to have someone who's in the Australian competition and coaching the Silver Ferns? And I said, well, we're going to give it a go. We're just going to see if it works. And for someone like Knowles, that was absolutely the right thing because we got the best out of her.
Yep.
So we failed publicly, and we learnt, we grew, we changed, we tried some stuff. We had to innovate. We couldn't look to the past to be our future model. And so if I think back to where do you gain that resilience and coming from the bottom back up, we've kind of been there, right? And yeah. we did it, and my leadership team were with me with this. And so we're quite primed for this kind of event that we find ourselves in now.
Yep.
And I think the rest is history in terms of what the Ferns did. They went into the World Cup last July in Liverpool, and they brought it home. So I think it shows us that, you know, we're a pretty resilient bunch. The community as a whole align behind you. They have a lot to say when you're not winning,
yeah.
But that's okay too, right? It means they're passionate and they care. If they were quiet, we would be far more worried.
You'd be really worried if no one really cared of what you yeah. were doing at that yeah. top level.
Yeah. I mean, and like any CEO, you know, I got lots of really lovely letters cut out of magazine headings, and they said some really unkind things. But that's the kind of thing of, you've got to bounce back. You've got to be a little bit like Teflon.
Yep.
But you've got to back your decisions. You've got to own it, and it has to be authentic.
While you're going through that process, it's it's good looking back and saying, here's who we got. There must have been a lot of friction to move away from that old way and to pull people into that new way. How was some of those, like you said, people saying that you're insane? How did you do some of that convincing to say, well, we have to, you know, we've got permission to try something new, you know, make this leap with me? How did you sort of get that across with you, your leadership team, and then have that flow down netball?
Well, I think what one of the biggest things in leadership is you've got to make people feel safe. And we were at the bottom. There was nowhere else for us to go. So we were either choosing to be in this together or not. And I think when you make people feel safe, you admit your errors, so you're vulnerable. I stood up and I said, we didn't get it right. Yep. The players didn't get it right. There was no one person at fault here, but it was accumulation of errors, and there were things that didn't even stem from this very moment in time. There were 10 years in the making. Yep. So we can choose to be part of the solution. And I think when you're vulnerable yourself as a leader, that opens up other people's ability to see their own part that they've played and where you've got to. And high performance sport is inherently unsafe. People have dropped it, that, you know, their yep. careers are on a knife edge. So it was a real art of saying, we listen to you. We got a review in place with a whole bunch of people, and we listened. We made sure we listened to the athletes. We listened to the coaches. We listened to some of our amazing matriarchs in our game who add value. We listened to the people we hadn't spoken to. So we did a thorough review. We had to make people feel safe in it, though.
So that sort of set the, I guess, the planks for your future strategy going forward to say, we've come out of this. We know where we're going. You've got everyone moving in the same direction. So you launched the future strategy for the sport, Poi Poia, if I'm saying it correctly. The goal of connecting, inspiring communities around netball. How much was that, I guess, an extension of that work that you did in the review of the Comm Games and said, this is where we want to go forward? Because this only came out in January this year.
Yeah, that's right. And so the Comm Games set a platform. Our Silver Ferns performances set a platform. But what was really important is our community still felt connected to all parts of our system. And what I'd felt for a number of years is there had been a growing disconnection between what was happening at the community level and yep. the national body. And for me, the connectedness needed to be resurrected. They had placed a lot of trust and faith in us as we went through our review, and we needed to turn back to them and say, actually, you guys know the sport best. Yep. What is going to work in your local area that is going to make that lifelong engagement in the sport continue? Because netball in New Zealand has been around for 100 years. Yep. We want another 100. But it won't be me sitting at a head office telling our people how to run the game, because they know it best.
Yep.
And I think the whole intention behind Papoya is to say, how do you harness the strength of that mass? You know, the people that have been driving this game from their kitchen tables for so many years, actually don't dumb them down. They have the best ideas on what is going to engage their local communities and give them the license to do it. And that's exactly what we launched in January is, you know your people, you know your environment best. Whilst we can give sort of guiding frameworks, we're not going to tell you how to do it. Yep. You be innovative. You be relevant. You make sure that our game remains safe and accessible for everyone to enjoy. And I think this was about giving the mantle back to our grassroots to say, we are all in this together. We want to hear your voices when we decide what our strategy looks like. Yep. And we're going to be here with you when we do it. And as you sort of alluded to, it's quite timely, because for grassroots to stand up again, they're going to need to be creative and have that sort of mandate to go out and do what they believe is the right thing for communities.
Completely. So reading part of it, and again, it reads like it was written last week, not in January, but one of the quotes that I love was, the world around us is changing, sports, recreation, and players changing, our players, fans, partners, communities are changing, and we are changing too, moving boldly forward. Like I said, that that could have been written in last week in this current environment. So kudos on that, because the conversation has been, and I, you know, chatted with Shane Harmon, who's on your board, how sports was changing and things were accelerating, and sports have been trying to figure out what the funding model is, how do we better connect with grassroots. That's something that, yeah, you have been tackling and sort of talking with your partners to say, you know, here's where our strength is. With our grassroots, we need to, yes, connect you with the Silver Ferns, but we need to connect you with the thousands and thousands of girls and boys playing netball as well. Has that been an ongoing conversation with your partners?
Oh, absolutely. And I guess the world has shifted on its axis since we wrote that. But you're right, it holds true. And it's about just reimagining it with a new frame now. And so I guess where I get quite a lot of energy and excitement from is we've got the mandate. We've, you know, our members have looked at that plan and said, we love it. We want to be part of this. And I think that's, you know, it's so timely because we're going to need that going forward. But how we do it now will be different to what potentially we could have envisaged under that plan.
Yep.
But the whole purpose behind a plan, I am not a fan of big documents that lay out 5-10 years in a really prescriptive way, because it is not true. It will not move quickly enough. It will not allow you scope to experiment and transform. So the intention of this is to hold it lightly. And what I mean by that is take the principles, but apply it to exactly what you see in front of you. And so particularly in our environment, we're going to have a massive rethink about what does the future hold for sport and how do we keep delivering to our communities, because it won't be the same as what we envisaged it 6 months ago.
Yeah, definitely. And like at the moment, you know, New Zealand starting to ease out and doing a really good job in flattening the curve. What does you're obviously having meetings around what does return to sport look like? How do you get people back on courts? Where are you right now in that process?
Yeah, so we are obviously taking our guidance from government, but we would like to see professional sport get out there. We think it's aspirational, and there's you know, a lot of a great argument for that. In our communities, I think what we are starting to shape up is how do we still deliver, and it might not deliver netball in the same way as you always saw it. So I think digital is going to come in a massive way. And I think our communities are more ready for it. We've given them sort of 6-8 weeks of practice.
Yep.
And here we are, how we interact with people is going to shift. There will be, you know, there will be an adjustment. We will come back to some of our old norms, but what we've embraced during this time will remain. So how do we ensure that we are relevant in that new scenario? Because we were shifting there anyway. I think it's just accelerated. I think the forms of game that we can deliver, I think we stood up NetFit in partnership with an Australian organisation, and we stood that up in New Zealand really quickly, because that was a way of ensuring we were still able to create a presence, deliver netball. But it's not netball as in play with your mates, but it's still a form of the game, interacting with our amazing netballers and embracing those people to make sure that when the time is right, they can come back to the game.
Because it's super important. You don't want to have this, you know, lockdown period and you don't want to lose players to the game because they find something else or they don't come back. And so drawing them in, you know, things like NetFit but just the connectivity, like I said before, of being at your club and the camaraderie and learning teamwork, it's so important to the fabric of, you know, New Zealand, and definitely the same here in Australia.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I think we all are facing that real tidal wave of people moving away from sport, full stop. We've got to create a reason to engage, and that connectivity is only something that I believe, you know, it's a unique selling opportunity for team sport. But our youth, you know, if young people are not going back to sport, no matter what the sport is, each of our countries will be in, you know, there'll be a long tail on this in terms of mental health, social impact. So we all have an obligation. This is not something I want to do. It's actually an obligation. If you sit in at a national sporting organisation, your obligation is to ensure that people have those participation opportunities going forward, and they're fit for purpose for how people want to participate. And that's how we will use sport as a vaccine to this COVID-19 situation.
Yeah, definitely. And I think part of it is also, I mean, a lot of the stories at the minute is how do we get top flight, the top level sport up and running again? And because that's the big headline to see netball and rugby and Aussie rules and that playing again. So we've got content and it, you know, inspires. But that secondary piece of how do we get some form of sport, training, engagement in groups happening is just as important for all those points of, you know, mental health and you know, just physical health of the country overall.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's a dual pronged approach, right? Our community is where the heart of our game is. If you don't have that sort of community connection and that lively, vibrant community, in time there won't be an elite game. So let's ensure that we stoke the fire under both, but acknowledge, you know, the community effort that's going to be required at that grassroots is going to be immense. It's going to come at a time where everyone has had to suck their belts in. Employment will be at higher levels than before, yep. Discretionary income, all of that. That landscape has changed. But we've got to ensure that we, you know, particularly in netball, we're the number one sport for Maori and Pacifica and European girls and third for Asian. So yep. We play a role in so many different communities that we've got an obligation to get out there and make it affordable in the new landscape. You know, we can't, this can't be a user pays model. Yep. That's not the future model, but it won't be the model we previously had either.
Yeah. So do you think that, I mean, one of the articles that sort of triggered me reaching out to you was netball offering to help other sports and other codes, and sort of this being a time where sport is a competitive business. We're all sort of trying to get the same person, but is it a time where we've all got to work together to get sport up and running again?
Yeah. And I think we have to be brave together and say, you know, how do we retain that competitiveness on the court or yep. wherever, but the back office could look completely different, or how we deliver, we must reimagine, because if we're going to stay in our own lane and think that's how we're going to get to the finish line, I think our mates are going to drop off on the side.
Yeah.
And if you think about young people, I don't care if my daughter or son plays netball, rugby, soccer, I just want them to be a good person and yep. have choice.
Yep.
And ultimately, they will land on the thing they most enjoy, and so be it. And if that happens to be AFL, well, good luck to them, you know. I'm not growing a future All Black or a Silver Fern in this household. I'd love yep. to think I was.
Yep.
But I just want them to be good people and enjoy the opportunities that I had when I was growing up.
But I think there is a lot to learn from netball in, again, back to that, the modelling and the funding of that as a sport, because a lot of sports have had this top-down approach. The big media money comes into the top and then some of it trickles down, not all of it, but some of it trickles down. But a lot of sports are now faced with, hang on, that number is not the same. How does it look going forward? And I think that's where there's lessons, you know, from what you're doing in netball, and different sports need to look at what are the new models going forward.
That's right. You've got to cut your cloth. And that rule hasn't changed. Yep. It should have always been the rule. That media landscape, as you talked about, there is going to be a shakeup of epic proportions where you can see the commentary about it offshore. Yep. Let's not think it's not coming to our shores or our, you know, this area of the world. And where we've been really fortunate is we are quite prudent in what we do. We live within our means. We're reliant on a multitude of different revenue. Our mix is quite different. And I think we have exposure in that, but we have less exposure than some. And so we're really, you know, this is about ensuring sport can rise up again, full stop. If we've got lessons that we can help other people with, guide them through or learn together, this is about a growth mindset. If you're going to be stuck in your old ways, it ain't happening. So we're really happy to share our learnings.
That's terrific. I really appreciate sparing the time. And I wanted to finish things up with the Sports Geek Closing Five. Do you remember the first sports event you ever attended?
Yeah, I went along to the, I think it was 1989 New Zealand v Australia Tri-Series held here in New Zealand. Went along with my mum, my auntie, And I remember looking at those women out there and just thought I wanted to be just like them.
So that would have been back in like Anne Sargent would have been playing for Australia, that sort of era?
Anne Sargent, I think it was Waitamanu, all of those kind of, you know, these women are still around. Yeah. That's the amazing thing in longevity. You know, these are the matriarchs. They're the people that young women like me looked up to, wanted to be like them. I didn't want to be a big CEO of a fancy corporate.
We're still in the hero building business, and that's, you know, that's part of why we've got to get sport back on track.
Yeah.
You have been to a lot of sports events and a lot of netball events. Is there a favourite food memory or a go-to food when you're going to a sports event?
You know, when you're there as a CE, you kind of have to behave yourself, and you don't want to be, you know, just gorging on the snacks. But I'm quite partial to a little wine when I sit and watch sport. I quite enjoy that. Yeah.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think we're all looking forward to be able to do that, whether we're sitting in our lounge room and watching something on TV. I think that would be good. What's the first app you open in the morning?
Well, for me, it's really important to do some exercise in the morning. So I get my Fitbit out and I get out and go for a run or do some sort of workout or something like that. It's been great to be able to do that over lockdown. There's no excuses, really.
No, so. Exactly. Yeah, everyone's now ISO fit and ISO shredded and that kind of stuff. Hopefully you're sharing all of your routines on social media like everyone else, because if you're not sharing it on social media, are you really working out?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's been good.
Is there someone that you suggest the podcast listeners should follow and why, whether it might be a colleague, someone you've worked with, or maybe an author or someone you follow?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm really impressed about is homegrown talent. And there's a journalist in New Zealand called Suzanne McFadden that has started Locker Room. And it is a media agency that is all about promoting female sportswomen in New Zealand. Okay. And what I love about it is the way that they wrap around those stories are really interesting. It's not just about stats and scores. Yep. It's about the inspiration behind it. Some real quality work coming out of Locker Room.
Terrific. I will link to it in the show notes. Lastly, what social media platform is your MVP? What's your go-to?
Well, at the moment, I have to say WhatsApp. This is how I actually connect with my family at the minute, family and friends. Unfortunately, my dad passed away during this lockdown. So,
my condolences.
Yeah, thank you. And it's made it incredibly challenging, but that's how it's been nice to be able to connect with his family and share some memories and photos. So, pretty low key, but it's around that connectivity with, loved ones.
Definitely. I mean, it is a time when people are trying to reach out and connect, whether it be WhatsApp, Facebook, house party, all the different things. I think we've feel more connected with a lot of people you don't normally speak to at this time.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Jenny, if people wanted to reach out and connect with you and thank you for the podcast and find out more about what you're doing in netball, what's the best way for people to reach out and connect with you?
Oh, probably through LinkedIn.
That's
right.
Definitely. I will send you, I'll put your links in there. Thank you very much for your time. Really do appreciate it. All the best coming out of lockdown. All the best for New Zealand. I hope to be back over there. I've got a standing invitation from Shane Harmon to come back over. And as soon as they unlock the borders and things become safe, I look forward to travel again and maybe taking a netball game or two.
Yeah, totally. Let's go Trans-Tasman.
Definitely.
We'd love your support on our Patreon campaign. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/Patreon.
Thanks again to Jenny Wiley, CEO of Netball New Zealand. I really do. I'll put a link in the show notes to their strategy. Like I said, very prophetic in putting it together early this year. And really spoke a lot to what they plan to do, but also it really does fit for the current environment we are in. If you want to connect with Jenny, please reach out to her and connect with her on LinkedIn. That's where I saw a lot of the articles that she was sharing, and that's how I sort of got connected via Shane. So thank you very much, Jenny, and all the best. Look forward to seeing netball back on our screens and and netball is back on court. My daughter played a lot of netball going through school. So, and much like yourself, my mum was my first coach, and my mum was a mad netballer. Mad in as she loved it, and played netball for many, many, many years. Want to get into the next segment. The next segment is One Slide, 2 Minutes. And this slide comes from a former podcast guest, Simon Kemp. I spoke to him last year, I believe, around his digital snapshots. And he's done one just recently, Digital 2020 April Global Stat Shot. And this one in particular was all about the types of content that people want during COVID-19. So I thought it was, well worth checking out the whole report. But I really thought, it has been a conversation piece around the sports biz Zoom conversations, and the conversations I'm having with digital folk is what types of content do people want? And so it went through to standard content, like people want more films and movies, but they want to be entertained. They want funny videos and memes. They do want some how-to tutorial videos, which again, similar to what we discussed with Jenny around NetFit tutorials and helping people with their skills via how-to videos. I think there's a spot there for sports. And a few others also talk about repeats of classic sports matches and events and that kind of thing. So, as well as live streaming of esports and those kind of things. So the things that people are hitting on at the minute, there's always much, much more in the reports that Simon and his team put out. So well worth a read. I'm always looking and diving in those reports and using them with permission in presentations. So, check that out. It's definitely a slide worth checking out. And my last one, it's no longer a new segment. It's got a new segment on my notes, but I've done it now 3 or 4 times. It's a do this today. So it's one tactic that you can implement today that will improve your life. I've gone big on it. You can improve your life. And it's one that I've actually been implementing on the SportsBiz Zoom calls quite selfishly. It is ask someone what they're reading. Because everyone is currently in this ISO reading phase and filling their days and a little bit of, self-improvement and those kind of things. And getting to that book that they haven't got to in a while. And so it has been a way that we've been closing the SportsBiz Zoom calls, asking people what they have been reading. Because you get a lot of insight into the books, the person, and what they're learning, and what they think of the book. But then also, you're getting it from another source. It's a great way to curate what your reading list might be. So, I've got a couple that have been added to my list: Legacy by James Kerr, which looks at the All Blacks and the New Zealand All Blacks culture. Which is, one that I've heard of a lot, but it has been recommended a couple of times on the calls. And another one that I heard today from Juanita was, last night, Culture Code by Daniel Coyle, that was actually recommended by Chris Fagan, the Brisbane Lions coach. So they're just a couple, but I do think it's, if you're talking to someone and catching up with someone, ask what they're reading. It doesn't have to be a sports book or a business book or those kind of things. It could just be something for pleasure, fiction and the like. That's it from me. As always, if there is a way that I can help you, especially trying to get out of this current crisis while we're going through this DC period, during COVID period, is there a way that I can help? Please let me know. Happy to work with podcast listeners, and as a matter of fact, I prefer it. So please let me know. If you are a sports technology business type company and want to reach the Sports Geek audience, I really do want to talk to you about the Sports Geek Amplify series, a podcast series we're developing to showcase really great tech and innovation in the space that I think sports will need going forward. So if you want to be part of that series, please reach out. And if you have been either displaced, stood down, and are looking for a gig, we have got a Sports Business Rockstars register. If you might be looking for something right now, or you might just be willing to put your hand up and help the industry while you're on a break and while you stood down, please register there. Connect with everybody on that list. And, you know, for mine, it's a really great way to stay connected. And then the other way is with the sports business Zoom calls. I'm really enjoying doing them twice a week. They're a lot of fun. The fact that I'm getting the benefit of knowledge, the way people are adapting their strategies and techniques and what they're doing in the space, but then also the benefit of finding out some cool books to read, documentaries to tackle, and those kind of things. You can sign up every single week, sportsgeekhq.com/zoomcalls. I'd love to see you there. Until next episode, my name is Sean Callanan, and you've been listening to Sports Geek.
Join Sports Geek Nation, access to exclusive Slack and Facebook groups with regular Q&A sessions with Sean Callanan. Go to sportsgeeknation.com to join.
Got a question for Sean? Send it in for our Sports Geek Q&A series. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/questions.
Go to sportsgeekhq.com for more sports digital marketing resources.